Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Farmington Hills, Michigan, and was Miss Michigan in 1986. And the third runner-up in the 1987 Miss American pageant. The mother of five, she's a very talented musician, comedian, producer, and songwriter. She's also the creator and producer of The Living Stations of the Cross, a new musical drama that's just opened at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. Her name, Kelly Needle, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Kelly Needle, very talented musician, comedian, producer, and songwriter. And if you ever need an agent, I come just free food.
Free food. Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure being here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood? And your parents.
What is this, therapy session?
No,
my
ma'am.
Childhood and my parents. Well, my mom and dad are amazing people. They're in Florida right now, but I'll make sure they listen. I was raised in a home where faith was not a central focus, unfortunately. And wonderful people. But now that I understand who Christ is in my life and my relationship with Jesus Christ, I understand that to grow up in an atmosphere where he is not the central focus of our lives can be very difficult on kids. And so I make a point of every day our kids, we pray together, we laugh together, we cry together, and we put our faith in God. And one of my favorite things to do is to pray before the kids leave for the bus stop. Jesus, we trust in you.
What's the biggest thing, Kelly, your mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing your dad taught you?
Oh, my goodness. My father is a great comedian. He taught me how to laugh. He taught me that in situations where I would like to cry, you got to find the humor in life. And my mother taught me to work really hard, that everything is possible with hard work. So this is great. One of the reasons I became a Christian was because she was dying in a University of Michigan hospital with a vasculitis disease. I was told she was not going to survive. She now just ran her first triathlon. Yes, at 76. Sorry, Mom, had to put that in there.
Let's go back to 1986, and you become Miss Michigan.
Yes.
How does one become Miss Michigan?
Oh, it was all in God's plan, I have to tell you. I was not a pageant person at all. I was a softball player, and I was in the band, and I played the orchestra. I was a normal kind of geeky-looking kid. I wasn't the homecoming queen by any means, and I needed money for scholarships to go to Michigan State. My father had been laid off. My mom was cleaning homes at the time, and I saw an ad for a scholarship program when I was 18 years old, so I literally put on my first pair of high heels and false eyelashes and false other things, which we won't go into because we're on the radio, Jack. But those help. Those really help. If you have to build cleavage, that's a good way to do it. Duct tape and fiber foam. So I became Miss Farmington, won $1,000, went on to Miss Michigan when I was 18, and made the top 10. But interestingly enough, the producers at the Miss Michigan pageant saw me perform. I was a violinist, a fiddle player of all things, did a wild rendition of the Orange Blossom special, which made Charlie Daniels famous. And they asked me back every year after that at the Miss Michigan pageant. And then when I was 23, I competed again and won the title of Miss Michigan. But I've been emceeing the Miss Michigan pageant in Muskegon, Michigan for 23 years. Wow. Yes, we don't want to tell anybody how old I am, but if you're good at math, it's pretty easy.
All right, let's go ahead to 1987.
Okay. So we go to Atlantic City. And at the time, the Miss America pageant was really in its heyday. It's the 80s, big shoulder pads, really big hair.
Was Burt Park still there?
No, Gary Collins was there. And
you're
going to
tell me
Lee,
that Burt Park's quit in like 1970 or something.
No. But Kathy Lee was there, and it was great. She was wearing Gifford's, his football jersey, you know, walking around, and that was really cool to watch. She was very, very fun. Gary Collins did a great job. And the gal that won that year was Johnny Cash's niece, Kelly Cash. I was a third runner-up, and I won the Talent Award. But there is a great story. I know a lot of people from Michigan and throughout the country know Kehlani Ray Rafko, good friend of mine. We competed at Miss Michigan together, and she was actually my first runner-up. And so she was going to get married, and instead I talked her into going back to Miss America, where she became Miss America 1988.
We were honored to have her on the show a few years ago.
She's
terrific
wonderful.
Lady.
My very first Catholic person that I actually became very good friends with, and she was a very devout Catholic, and I always thought that was very special.
All right. Third runner-up,
mm-hmm.
and then for 10 years, you're on the road as an entertainer, fiddler, comedian.
I did not plan that. Yes, I had no idea I was going to be on the road. When you go on national TV and you have an act that is so, I guess, unusual as a fiddle player, jumping around the stage and yahooing, corporate America embraced that. And so I was on the road performing for many companies at trade shows and corporations. I developed a one-hour, one-woman comedy show using the violin, also brought in some river dance, Celtic music, and lots of audience participation. And then I became my own producer and marketing agent.
Kelly Needle, most people would say, what a neat life. They would say, you had it all. Looking back, what was missing?
I was horribly depressed. And you hit the nail on the head because everyone looked at my life as the life everyone wanted. I was on the road. I was making a fortune on cruise ships for months at a time, Vegas, Atlantic City. It seemed as if I had the perfect life. And yet, I was extremely depressed. I had a fiance at the time when I went through the Miss America program, and I actually sat on a cliff after he dumped me over eggplant, considering killing myself because I had nothing in life. I didn't know that there was a God who loved me so much that he sent his only son to save me. And as I sat on that cliff, I came to a real crossroads in my life. And I was working with a gal who was a trans channeler at the time into the New Age occult. And a white feather came past my car, and I thought that was White Feather. I thought that was this Indian that she had trans channeled. I called her, explained what was happening. I thought that I had found God in the occult. That wasn't the case. But I did pursue the New Age movement, the occult, transcendental meditation, and all of those sorts of things for the next 5 or 6 years heavily. It didn't lead me to where I am now, but what I find interesting is that God met me where I was, and he brought a person into my life who was able to really shake me up.
We're talking to Kelly Needle, and we're going to talk about that person that God brought into her life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Kelly Needle, the creator and producer of The Living Stations of the Cross, a new musical drama that's just opened at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, www.livingstations.org. Kelly, let's go back to 1998. You're a mother of two. You and Dominic have two children. You're an agnostic. You're into the occult, New Age, and a cleaning lady one day changes your life.
Yeah, how God works to meet you where you are. I came home from Phoenix, Arizona, where I was working, and a woman was cleaning my house. I had never met her before. And I heard screams from the basement. She came running up the stairs, yelling at me, "Are you Cherokee Indian?" And I'm a freckle-faced, redhead Irish woman. And I said, "I'm Cherokee Indian." "No." She said, "You have opened the doors to Satan in your home. And the Lord told me I need to come up here and tell you to stop the madness." I ran to the basement wondering if she had been reading my journals or seeing my candles, where I had been conjuring the spirit of a dead Indian who had given me plenty of prophetic signals. I thought I was on the right path. Obviously, God wanted me to listen to him and stop trying to contact the dead, to trying to bring these spirits into my home. I had no idea that this was such a dangerous art. She threw a Bible on my table. I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And she said, "Please, for God's sake, For God's sake and your children's sake, read this and call me. I opened the Gospels for the first time and I couldn't put it down. And it changed my life.
You become then a born-again Baptist.
Right.
How?
A woman had been at preschool with my five-year-old. And the woman, obviously the cleaning lady, scared the living daylights out of me. And she seemed to have such great peace. And I said to her, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes." She was an ex-Catholic in the Baptist church who had been praying all summer long that she could testify to someone and bring them to Jesus. And she found this as her opportunity. I had no idea. We sat at her kitchen table. I asked lots of questions. And when she explained to me that Jesus was the Lamb of God, it felt as if a spotlight, a huge light, started shining on the inside of my soul. I realized now it was a dimmer switch that just, you know, God so ever gently shows you the truth. And yet that moment changed my life.
2 years later, you become a Catholic. And you walk into Our Lady of Sorrows Church, I think in Farmington.
Yes.
And you experience for the first time ever the Stations of the Cross.
That's right.
What happened?
Good Friday. I've never been in a church on a Good Friday. How is that possible? My husband and I were sitting in the pew near the organ. We sit there all the time with our five children now. And as the flogging scene started, I started feeling a horrific spiritual pain, a pain that I felt I was going to pass out. And I knelt and I grabbed my husband in this agony and I looked up at the altar and I saw what is now the Living Stations of the Cross. And at that moment, I heard God's voice say, "This is why you are here." He made sense of my entire life. He made sense of my musical background, the spiritual wake-up call that I had, this amazing conversion. I was on fire. And to hear the Lord's voice as I am witnessing this incredible vision changed my life forever. But he also made sense of every crazy thing that I had ever done and brought me to that moment where I could truly work for his glory in his kingdom.
You then create the Living Stations of the Cross while you're raising five children.
Right.
Tell us about the Living Stations of the Cross.
Well, we started at Our Lady of Sorrows 10 years ago. This is our 10th anniversary with a small ragtag group of about 20 people, incredibly faith-filled people. We've grown to a cast of over 80. These children that experience the Living Stations of the Cross at Our Lady of Sorrows have grown up with the intimate details of Christ's passion, and it has changed all of our lives. Now we are at the Blessed Cathedral, the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And I have always said to this crew, I knew that God was leading us. You can't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You have to shine this candle for the whole world to see. This production now at the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral is a production that we are going to market and duplicate nationwide. We are also working on a Spanish version so that internationally this can be on the altar of every cathedral across the country, in churches across the country. It's beautifully orchestrated, and each song is written in the exact moment, the moment that Mary stands before her son for the very last time and says, "My son," and she has to say goodbye.
Kelly Needle, 2010, you've done this for 9 years, you've used other people's music, and you decide you want to write your own music.
Oh, I didn't decide that one.
You've never written any music before.
That's right.
And you sit down while you're raising these five kids, and you write over an hour's worth of new music. That, Kelly Needle, is impossible. How'd you do it?
Nothing is impossible. When God calls, he calls those that know they can't do it themselves. He called me out of a sound sleep in January of 2009 and said, "Write." I literally said, "Write what?" I took pieces of paper and I started writing lyrics. And by the time that 2 hours was over, I had pages and pages and pages of lyrics in my foyer. And my husband came out saying, "What are you doing?" I said, "I have to write all the music." I wrote the Pontius Pilate song on the way to a hockey game. Most of the songs were written somewhere in the context of church and kids. You know, that is my life first as being a mother. And sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament allows me to ask Jesus those questions so that he can share with me what was actually going on in that moment when his mother was saying goodbye. And I wrote those lyrics as I said goodbye to a five-year-old walking to the bus stop for the first time.
if there's a listener tonight that says, Jack, you know, you live in a dream world. These people you get on this show, they're not real people. You know, this stuff doesn't happen to real people. God never even talks to me. Kelly, what do you say to that listener?
I say that when my son started saying to me, Mom, I want the same experience as you've had, I said, then you have to invite God into your heart. And every night since, he says, God, I'm waiting, I'm watching, and I'm listening. And if every person would just say that every night and open their hearts, we could all hear God, because God calls each of us to a magnificent mission that only we can create. And yet so many of us, our hearts are closed, our ears are closed, and we really don't want to hear God. But if you say that, God, I'm listening. Jesus, come to me and show me. Give me my working papers. I prayed that for 9 years. Give me my working papers. I'm ready. I was ready in 2010.
You also prayed that God gives you the co-partner in the songwriting, right. Nick Delbus. Talk about Nick Delbus.
Nick is a genius. I'm sitting there in my living room crying that I just couldn't figure out how to finish a bunch of these songs. And my husband, who works for UBS, and he's very corporate America, he comes and he says, what's wrong with you? I said, I can't get it done. And he grabs my shoulders right out of a movie and says, you have to think like a corporate CEO. I said, I'm not a corporate CEO. I'm a mom. I don't know what to do. And he says, spend the money and find the best. Go do it. God will provide. The very first phone call I made was to Nick Delbus of Crossroads. I share my life with him. I share my lyrics with him, all of the melodies that God has put on my heart. And he's the genius behind taking all of that stuff, all of that raw material, and forging it into what we now call the Living Stations of the Cross. We spent over 800 hours working on this soundtrack. It's magnificent.
We're with Kelly Needle, and let's listen to a little bit of Not Crucified, Nick Delbus and Kelly Needle.
I'm here, the living sacrifice. I'm here to pay your price, but not be crucified. Not crucified, not crucified, not
Now, back to Anything is Possible with Jack Brasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with an amazing lady, Kelly Needle, very talented musician, comedian, producer, songwriter, Miss Michigan from 1986, and a fabulous lady who's let God craft her into his master plan. So you do this at this church in Farmington for 10 years, and then you decide you're going to take it to a cathedral. Never happened before in the world, any cathedral. How'd you make that happen?
Well, of course, I was praying, and I had been looking for performance space to take this somewhere else. I looked at the Royal Oak Music Theater. I looked at Civic Centers in Dearborn and Troy, and I was all over the state of Michigan trying to find this place. And I couldn't find a place that Jesus would be crucified with enough reverence. And so as I'm at the little shrine, the Shrine of the Little Flower on Woodward, I was crying in front of the Blessed Sacrament again. You know, poor God. Oh, there she is again, crying, needs us. He provides this law firm that created our apostolate pro bono, the Daly Law Firm. In fact, Brian Daly's on WJR. And he came to me and offered to help us set up this apostolate. As I'm walking towards the Royal Oak Music Theater, I get a phone call. Kelly, are you on such and such a street? I said, yes. What, are you stalking me? The van door opens. They had been having lunch. I get in. They said, what are you doing here? I explained my situation. They said, all right, we'll pray about it. We'll work on it for you. We'll help. The next day, they were at the ordination of the priests at the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral. And Brian Daly talked to Monsignor Lefevre, the rector president, and said, hey, they've been doing this amazing passion play. Would you consider having them here at the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral? And he said, absolutely, have her call me. And that is how it happened.
You've just started this weekend, 25 performances over the next few weeks, 16 matinees, 9 weekend shows, If you want to buy tickets or learn more, www.livingstations.org. Kelly, where did you find the 35 cast members?
We had auditions in December, but I ended up having to make a lot of phone calls, find a lot of musician friends of mine and say, look, I need the right Jesus. I had a friend of mine who was also a Miss Michigan, who was a Jewish woman, who, while my daughter was taking violin lessons with her, was going through her own conversion experience, and she became a Catholic. I called her and said, look, I need the right person from, like, the Michigan Opera Theater or someone that can handle the role of Jesus. She made three suggestions. All were cast the next day. I find that to be just a fascinating coincidence. As a casting agent, that doesn't normally happen. But the people that are put in place are extremely faith-filled and unbelievably talented, but committed to the role not just as an actor or as a musician, but because it is truly a faith journey for them. Since December, we've been working together, and a few nights ago at our dress rehearsal, it was a very pivotal moment for all of us to understand that our journey started together, and they weren't quite sure where it would take us. We're so incredibly pleased with this production. The man playing Jesus said to me, I'd love to be your conductor when you get an orchestrated score at the Fox Theater someday. And our pilot, Jamie Kalecki, said, I'd love to be the acting coach for next year. These people are coming out of the woodwork now, seeing its potential.
Kelly Needle, five children, you and Dominic, 16 to 5. Some might say, wait a minute. Your place is at home, raising those kids, not being a producer working 80 hours a week, living in this fantasy land again. You should be at home raising your children.
I totally understand that. When I had my daughter and my son, my first daughter, first son, I was on the road. I gave up my career as a performer because I wanted to stay home with my kids. 16 years later, now that all my kids are in school, God's timing is so perfect that I was able to sit my kids down and say, look, Mom has been called. Your dad and I were at church 11 years ago, and God gave Mom a mission. You need to understand that we all have to sacrifice. This year has been a sacrifice, but now my 14-year-old son has come to know the Lord in a profound way. He's a soldier at Sorrows. My husband's in the production at Sorrows, and my two youngest are also with me on this journey. My son sat for 8 hours with me in the light booth yesterday at the cathedral, being able to watch Mommy work, and I can still have him with me. Yes, I raised my kids, but it's important that we are stewards of our faith, that we use our time and talents to help bring about God's kingdom here on earth.
Kelly Needle, what's been the biggest surprise in this 10-year mystery of producing the Living Stations of the Cross?
I started because I believed that we had so many lives to touch. At Our Lady of Sorrows, over 20,000 people have seen this incredibly profound experience. I didn't realize that my family would be so profoundly affected, that I watch my son praying in such a way that brings tears to my eyes. I listen to the conversations that he's having with me after rehearsals, talking about how important it is to be a community that works to share the gospel with people. This is a 14-year-old kid who, through this journey, understands that we are here to do God's work, to be his hands and feet. So, yes, it helps other people, but what it has done to my own family, I had no idea, but God is so good.
Why should someone come to this performance?
Because it is so different than anything you've ever seen in a church. We literally have over $50,000 worth of light equipment and sound equipment and technology to bring this to fruition. We have a fully orchestrated soundtrack that's new, original, contemporary. It's not music from 100 years ago. It's music now that you can bring your teenagers to, and they can sit and be immersed in the sights and the sounds of a magnificent Broadway musical based on the Passion of Christ, because it is an experience that can change lives and change hearts.
Vel Clark of WXYZ, after she saw it, said, they're taking the Stations of the Cross off the walls of the church and into the hearts of the people.
Isn't that beautiful?
Kelly Needle, if there's a non-believer tonight, or someone with major doubts, that says, I'm impressed with this lady, but I don't belong in that church to see this.
There are two aspects to this performance. The first It is a performance. You can't get around it. It's a huge opening Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. It's a wonderful reprise like you would see at the Fox Theater. It's got rock concert lighting. So, yes, it is a performance. We're not ashamed of that. We brought it to a cathedral, but it is a performance. At the same time, for people who are coming, who love praying the Stations of the Cross, it is a communal prayer still that we all pray together. Unbelievers, people that have major doubts, come and see and be entertained. And at the same time, you may learn something about our faith. We're not trying to convert you, but it's beautiful. And I guarantee it will affect your heart. God speaks to us through this music.
It opened Friday night. Over 650, standing room only, 650 people. When you put your head on the pillow that night, Kelly, what did you say to God?
You know, I've always told the cast, don't be perfect. God doesn't want you to be perfect. But God wants you to work. God wants you to be dedicated, and he wants you to listen. And I've always said, the only thing I want out of this is to hear the words from Jesus say, come, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I was able to put my head on the pillow and feel like it was a great start to hearing those words. I am so grateful that God has given me this mission.
We're with Kelly Needle, and here's another song from the show, Experience the Grace and Power of the Living Stations, that she, along with Nick Delbus, wrote and produced.
From the cross he calls my name, and he forgives me, he forgives me. I know it's hard to look at him when you're feeling so much shame. From the cross he calls my name, and he forgives.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Kelly Needle, needless to say, an unbelievable lady who's gone from being an agnostic, new age, into the occult, to now a person on fire, filled with passion for God. And that happened through the Holy Spirit. A lot of people talk, Kelly, about God and Jesus, but only on that Pentecost Sunday do we ever hear about this, the third portion. What has the Holy Spirit done for your life?
Oh, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. What I find interesting is that people have a hard time saying Jesus's name. You're right. Everybody talks about God. Everybody talks about God. But I do believe that we trip on the words Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit, like you said, is not used enough. But the Holy Spirit, there is a passion and a movement of the Holy Spirit, especially those people that are creative. You know, we have that divine spark of Jesus within us. And as Pope John Paul II so incredibly well put in his letter to artists, that divine spark, when we are creating, we are connecting with the divine spark, that creator, the ultimate creator is God. And that Holy Spirit can move our hearts to work in the same way that we can create something for God's kingdom here. And yes, the Holy Spirit is so important. In fact, I've also in the last 5 years written another production, which I would like to bring to the cathedral, called The Living Stations of the Resurrection, which take us from the empty tomb to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the people and they were burning with the fire of the Lord and were able to go start the church. That is the Holy Spirit's movement throughout the world.
I can hear Dominic in the background. Honey, just wait till May 1st for that one, all right? Yeah. May 1st.
Yes.
Let's
my
clean some
husband.
Of these clothes and put some food
oh,
in this refrigerator.
Goodness. My husband is a saint in the you know, and being married 17 years, because of this experience, he has sacrificed, offered his wife to the Lord in such a way that he has taken on the role of mother, a father, full-time job, a logistic manager. You know, we call him the air traffic controller, getting all the kids to sports and working it out so mom can work for the Lord. But he's often said, look, God called you. We know that. go work. We're here for you when the tomb closes.
Kelly Needle, when you saw Mel Gibson's The Passion with Jim Caviezel, what struck you the most?
That too many people were saying it was too violent. And yet, the second time I went, I took my Bible with me, and I counted those flogging, those lashes, and it was dead on. And as I watched this scene and read the JAMA report on the autopsy of Christ based on the Bible, Mel Gibson hit the nail on the head when he showed the true realization of what Christ went through on that cross. And too many allow the kids of this world to ridiculous ways watch people being killed in movies for no reason. And yet when Christ sheds too much blood on the cross, people are up in arms that Mel Gibson did something wrong. Are you kidding? Mel Gibson was called by God to put that movie together. And I felt that when that came out, we were in about our fifth year, I would say, so many people said to me, oh, now you can't do The Living Stations because you're competing with the movie. I said, are you kidding? We do The Living Stations because theater is the grassroots of entertainment. Theater is a place that people come, and within minutes, they are invested into the characters. They actually feel as if they're part of the scene. And when they watch Jesus, his dead body being carried out of the church, you hear nothing but sobs from men, women, and children. We supplement what Mel Gibson was able to do on the big screen. Now we take what Mel Gibson has done for us and we bring it to the live theater. We want to bring it to Chicago, to Los Angeles, to California, to New York. Every cathedral in the country can do this. We've created an actual production kit that can be duplicated around the world so that a cathedral without the knowledge of how to do this can do this. We have tracks, we have performance tracks, we have sheet music. We have everything you need in a box, except for the prayers and the people, for you to be able to take The Living Stations and put it on the cathedral in your archdiocese or your diocese or your church.
Kelly Needle, if we could take that enthusiasm you've got and put it in a box, wow,
There are lots of people out there.
We're going places.
We have two churches right now performing this, and this woman in Illinois, she's exactly like I am. She never stops crying about how beautiful the music is and how wonderful her youth group is. And they're performing this on Palm Sunday weekend and then also on Good Friday. So we're starting this wave, this new evangelization, to proclaim Christ's passion with the zeal of the first apostles.
www.livingstations.org. Kelly, let's go back to the passion. Being a mom, a mother, talk about how you saw the Blessed Virgin in that movie.
That is such, having children myself, in order to dissect a character, in order to play a role, in order to direct a role, you have to really put yourself in that person's footsteps. And because I am a mother, and because I have three sons, I can say to Mary, who doesn't have children at the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral, I can say to her, I want you to understand that when I'm away from my five-year-old and I come home at night and he's sleeping, that when they lay that dead body of your son in front of you, she stood there and cried. I said, you wouldn't stand there and cry. You'd fall to your knees. You'd brush his hair back. You'd fix his face. You'd wipe the blood off his face and then you'd kiss his forehead. Because as a mother, that's what she would do.
The most used phrase in the Bible is not love God, it's not love your neighbor, it's be not afraid.
Right.
And being around you, you have no fear, whether it's being on a stage with a fiddle.
I'm a great actress.
Okay. Where do you get this courage? A lot of listeners are just, they're fearful right now.
Look, you know, we each one of us is going to face our deathbed experience. Every one of us in this life has to face death, and yet no one wants to talk about it. When I told my cast last year that I was writing the music and it wasn't done, and it was January, and we had to be ready in March, and that I would give them the music when God gave it to me, they thought I was completely nuts. So I built some of the music. I brought it the next week. I played it for them, and I said, now close your eyes. And I want you to listen to the magnificent string part. And then I want you to imagine that you're in a crowd, in a room of people having fun and enjoying their lives. And I am asking you to walk onto a plank that's about 2 feet long. overlooking an abyss, and it's cold, and it's dark, and it's scary, and I want you to close that door behind you, and I want you to lock it. And I want you to look into the abyss, and I want you to say, Jesus, I trust in you, and I want you to take a leap. I want you to jump in your mind. I want you to take that leap. I want you to imagine this every day, and I want you to know that Jesus is there to catch you. Like we as children come off that diving board, we're scared to death. Daddy's in the water. I love my daddy. He's the biggest man in the world, but I'm afraid. But when you take the leap once, what happens? You can do it again, and it gets easier, and it gets easier. So I challenge every person listening to close your eyes and imagine standing in the abyss. This will prepare you for the last time you take your breath. You close your eyes, and Jesus will be there. You can trust in him.
Kelly, our eyes are still closed. So as our time winds down this evening, could you share with us a closing prayer, please?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you have done for us. We thank you for what you have sacrificed for us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be your hands and feet in a world that has gone mad, in a world that desperately needs you. For every person listening, allow them to pray the prayer of Jesus, I trust in you. Or at least say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm waiting. I'm watching. Lord, give these listeners the courage to open their ears, to not be afraid, to know that you have their best interest in mind, that they could not imagine a life as wonderful as the life you have prepared for them if they would only listen to your call and follow you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the unborn children that are brought into life. We thank you for this opportunity. Please prepare our hearts now for what is to come at the cathedral. Please bring these people who are so desperately need your voice to see your passion, to understand, to visually realize what you have done for them on Calvary. Lord, we thank you.
And Kelly Needle, we thank you. What a fabulous example of what happens when we let God be God. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Anything is possible, isn't it?
Yes. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, Kelly Needle, anything is possible.
Is possible.